This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
My brothers and sisters, with Ramadan upon the horizon, and we ask Allah to deliver us to it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hadid, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Compete with one another towards the forgiveness of your Lord and towards His blissful paradise. That which is wider than the skies and the earth, and has been promised and prepared to those who believe in Allah and His messengers. This is Allah's declaration to us all to compete, and the month of Ramadan is the heightened leg of that race. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to us, whomever fasts the month of Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, with faith and expecting from Allah, hoping in Allah azza wa jal, will be forgiven for their sins. And whomever stands the nights of Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, in faith and hopeful of the reward, they will be forgiven for their sins. And so everyone goes in and should be going in with this aspiration in mind, to race as best I can, because the forgiveness of Allah and His paradise is more within reach for every competitor than any other time of the year. However, that's how we will all start. But then people get subdivided into different categories. In the racetrack that is Ramadan, you may start finding people on the racetrack slowly making their way to the sidelines, sitting on the sidewalks, taking a break or quitting altogether, or perhaps getting tripped up and stumbling into a ditch for a long period of time. So those ditches are of various kinds. Sometimes you will look in one ditch and you will find a person hugging onto their smartphone with the battery drained. And actually the phone had drained him more than he drained the phone. Just the addiction and cycling from one application to another, or one video to another. By the way, even Islamic videos sometimes can be deceitful, in the sense that it allows you to think you're doing, because you're passively just listening to someone else, as opposed to you actively engaging in pursuit of the promise of Allah and His forgiveness. Or maybe others, the ditch they fell into was too much iftar. And then obviously too much sweets after the iftar. And so it would cost them the first rak'ah of Isha, or maybe all of Isha, or more of that from their night will be stolen, pulled out from under them, one night gone, of treasures. Or maybe someone will fall into the ditch of straining relationships and argumentation in this month of peace and serenity and sincerity. Or maybe a fourth ditch a person can get caught off guard and stumble into is the ditch of starting too strong, too fast, without preparation, right? They think it's a sprint and not a marathon, and so they pull a muscle, if you will. And they fall aside and they say, I guess I'm just going to have to recover, and maybe the 27th night I'll be back. Why does this happen? Because people jump right in without plan, without preparation. So how to avoid in the racetrack of the marathon of Ramadan these pitfalls, these ditches? One of my teachers says, you know, when you're entering a race, especially a high profile race in a stadium somewhere, you got to go through the locker room first. You got to pass through the tunnel. And there's a reason for this. You got to gear up. You know, if someone's swimming or someone's running or otherwise, you got to wear the right gear. Less friction, help you, you know, maximize on this competition you have. Likewise, there is something you have to dress yourself in as you enter this race. The most important thing to prepare for Ramadan now in the final hour is to remind yourself, reactivate within yourself the love and the longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is by getting to know his names and his attributes. A person will not be able to resist loving Allah as they learn and relearn about him. His beautiful names, his wonderful attributes. This is the greatest gateway to tasting, experiencing the sweetness of faith, which lightens your burdens. It drives you, it carries you. And then also deepening your recognition of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not the least of which is the fact that he brought you another Ramadan. He made you Muslim and made you live to this month because he wants to see you in Jannah. And the only thing left is to capitalize in gratitude for that gift. But the gratitude in general. And to be extra practical, if you haven't done so already in these last 48 or 72 hours, go online. You know, Yaqeen Institute, for example, has an Awe of Allah series where it helps us learn and reflect on the beautiful names of Allah. Read them, download them. It has a gratitude journal that is sort of Islamically designed. If you've never done this before and you want a little bit of a crutch on how to work through really appreciating the priceless favors of Allah in your life, go look these up after the khutbah today. So that's how you gear up to enter the race. The love of Allah and the longing for Him through getting to know Him and through deepening your gratitude of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as you're proceeding to the racetrack, one of my teachers used to say, you have to be sure not to overlook the stand on the side. There's like a stand, a canteen, a pharmacy, where you need to pick up supplements. You need to pick up the nutrients and the supplements to put them in your bag because you're going to need them throughout the race. Continuously, you're going to need to fuel up from them. The first of them is sincerity, al-ikhlas, al-sidq, to be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal. That you are doing this for Allah's pleasure. Obviously, you know, Muslims, within a Muslim community, if everyone's fasting, you're not showing off that you're fasting because that doesn't give you an edge. Everyone's fasting. But you may, though, be doing this just for the feel good of doing good, meaning just to please yourself, not necessarily to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a careful point here that a person must give their attention to, that serving Allah pleases you. But it cannot be your ultimate objective from serving Allah. It is to please Him. He doesn't owe us anything, even if we serve Him, because we can never repay the blessings to begin with, right? And so Allah gave us our existence, and we can never, ever compensate Him for that. And therefore, I am serving Him because that's His right, even if He didn't ask for it. So how about when He asked for it, for my own good, He asked for it. So that is the intention. That is tawheed, to single Allah out in our intentions as well. I'm doing this to please Him. And I call our attention to this because many a times we can fall into the trap, the misunderstanding of dealing with Allah Azza wa Jal in a very transactional way. Meaning, I see my worship as some worthy currency to be immediately cashed. As if, a'udhu billah, we treat Allah Azza wa Jal as some banker, and my ibadah is a check, and it should be immediately cashed out. I've done this and that and the third. Why didn't Allah do this for me? Why didn't Allah do that for me? Right? And so sincerity is what will assist you to best serve in Ramadan, that I'm doing this for His pleasure, even if I may not be immediately pleasured by this. And Allah Azza wa Jal said that His help will come in proportionate to your sincerity. فَلَوْ صَدَقُوا اللَّهَ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ Had they been true to Allah, it would have been better for them. You know what this verse came down about? About the people that initially started following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they couldn't find the resolve to continue, the stamina to continue. He said, had they been more truthful, honest with God, He would have given them the determination to be able to continue in the marathon of life, right? So in the shorter marathon of Ramadan, keep this in mind. Sincerity with Allah. And of the greatest means to sincerity is to figure out some good deeds, identify them, to hide them from the world, if possible. Even the closest people to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us this. He said, مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ خَبِيءٌ مِنْ عَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Whoever of you is able to secure a hidden stash of good deeds, some Quran, some charity, something, right, that nobody knows about, then they must do so. The stakes are too high. This is your plan B, or sort of your getting the wheels turning also on your sincerity. The second of the supplements you're going to have to keep taking doses of, even if it's a sour dose, is the sour dose of patience. Sabr. An-nasru sabru sa'a, they often say. That triumph, winning anything, is the only possible as a result of a moment's patience. It's holding on just for another minute. Just another minute. Do we think that the people who pray all night, or pray much of the night in Ramadan, or pray consistently at night in Ramadan, and then all of the night by the end of Ramadan, the way the Prophet ﷺ did, do we think they don't get tired? They get tired like we get tired. The difference is that some of us are patient through the fatigue and the tiredness, and some of us are not willing to be patient. That's the only difference. If you want to rest, you have to first give up rest. May Allah Azza wa Jal make Jannah our rest and our comfort for eternity. The Arab used to famously say, "Man talaba siyada taraka al-wisada." That if you want siyada, you want to be an elite competitor, if you will, an elite winner, siyada, like Sayyid, you have to first give up the wisada. You're going to have to first give up the pillow. They don't come together. There has to be some exchange. And so, you know, and patience here, let me say, brothers and sisters, of the utmost importance, is to realize that it's not just about patient upon doing what I'm not in the habit of doing. No, a more important patience is being patient upon staying away from the things that I've been prohibited from doing. Sahl ibn Abdullah al-Tustari, rahimahullah, used to say, أَعْمَالُ الْبِرِّ يَعْمَلُهَا كُلُّ بَرٍ وَفَاجِرٍ وَلَا يَجْتَنِبُ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ إِلَّا صِدِّيقٍ. Good deeds, good people and bad people all commit good deeds. All perform good deeds. Everybody does that. Everyone wants to feel good of doing good. It's normal. Everyone's going to identify something they deem good to do. But staying away from the bad deeds, staying away from what Allah forbid, this is what a true confirmer of truth does. Only those that have certainty, yaqeen in Allah, are able to avoid violating Allah's boundaries. So the things you're not going to do this Ramadan are, generally speaking, more important than the things you're going to do this Ramadan. But it doesn't just stop there. If you really want to be patient upon higher levels, whatever that means, higher levels than you were at last Ramadan, you're going to have to be patient upon the planning process, the preparation process. For instance, someone can go through the same cycle, not knowing why. I'm just sleepy. Every single night I'm going to say I'm going to power through, but I'm sleepy this night. I'm sleepy. He doesn't stop to say, why am I sleepy? It's because I overate. Right? Sleepiness doesn't just happen to everyone equally. Maybe I'm eating so much that instead of the food giving me energy, it's actually weighing me down and depleting me of energy. So to resist the urge, resist the temptation. Right? So that is the patience, the sour dose of patience. The third of them, very quickly, is, they said, zuhd. Zuhd means disinterest in this world. And of course, when we say disinterest in this world, we don't mean that Islam like promotes like unemployment, or like Islam, you know, glamorizes poverty. That is not the idea. The idea is that we are captives of this world and not able to see the very shallow returns that this world has, and so we want to give ourselves some pause to snap out of that. Like everywhere around us, you may hear someone on the racetrack saying, yes! And you say, yes what? That sounded like good, right? I finally made it, and you turn, right? They made it. But no one, they didn't make anything. If you were to stop, you may realize, and how powerful and inspiring is this realization, you may realize that, you know what? It is very possible that most of my life is over. I will not live as long as I've lived. And you know what? There is probably, pretty sure, there's nothing left of the enjoyment of this life. that I haven't come across. There really is no sort of award. There is no restaurant. There is no car that's any different than the ones I've already tried. They're actually not that different. And that'll give you the power to break the cycle. And to realize that, man, this world doesn't deserve all the attention perhaps I'm giving it. Maybe I should pursue a better world that suits me better. A world that could be very close, as the Prophet ﷺ said, paradise is closer to one of you than your shoe strap. And the fire is as well. Meaning you put on your shoe and you strap that Velcro or tie that rope, that lace, and one day someone else can untie it. That's it. They're going to remove you for the remove that for the shrouds. And the fourth and final one of the supplements I will mention to you, if you are able to prepare a dose throughout Ramadan of the biographies of the early Muslims, just snapshots, look for them. Of course, the greatest of them is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why are you praying, Ya Rasulullah, until your feet swell? When Allah has forgiven you for your past and future sins, he'll say, shouldn't I then be a grateful servant? Or his companion Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, when they're telling him, you've grown so old, you've been working so hard, slow down, look at how much weight you've lost. That's what they told him. He used to say to them, the lightest horses run the fastest. And he would say to them, doesn't the horse push everything it has left out of it when it reaches the finish line? And you know, I'll mention to you Al-Junayd ibn Muhammad before I sit down, rahimahullah. In the very last moments of his life, they said to him, enough. Like, you're just, he was ignoring everyone visiting him. He's not talking to anybody. He's just reciting the Quran. They said to him, even now, you're still reciting Quran. He said, I need it now more than ever. My scroll of deeds is closing right now. My book is about to get finalized, about to get published and handed it to me in the hereafter. I need it now more than ever. And he went back to ignoring them and completed yet another khatma, a full read of the Quran, and then restarted immediately, and he got a few dozen verses into Surah Al-Baqarah, and then his soul returned to its maker, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. This same Al-Junayd ibn Muhammad rahimahullah once saw a man not taking life seriously. And so he said to him, don't you have it in you to be at least equivalent to a cat? He said, a cat, when it chases a mouse into a hole, it doesn't blink. It stays on top of the hole, awaiting, alert, for its luqma, its bite. He said, can't you harness some focus, not for a luqma, not for a cheap bite, not for a dirty rat, right? But for a jannah, for a paradise? May Allah grant us all that focus that delivers us to His pleasure and His forgiveness. The last thing I want to say, brothers and sisters, very quickly. Don't be discouraged. Don't be deflated by any limitation this Ramadan that is outside of your hands. The one who kept that opportunity from you will not keep the reward from you. Don't be confused by, you know, quantity over quality. If you have a certain obligation in your life, like taking care of your children at home, or a certain, you know, constraint, a true constraint that you have because you are conscientious in your job or otherwise, then know that Allah always rewards more for the obligations than He does for whatever is mandatory. And aside from the universal obligation that we all have every day to renew our repentance, our tawbah, and the fundamental obligation of Ramadan fasting, everything else is technically voluntary. If it's available to you, know that Allah Azrael has given you what He hasn't given others. But if it's not available to you, know that Allah has still given you the opportunity for that reward by fulfilling your obligations. If you have children, especially our sisters, we always get the question every year, you know, alhamdulillah, we're blessed. We have a community that maybe we can arrange some sort of, you know, dynamic between parents that have similar age kids. The masjid itself, alhamdulillah, provides childcare every night of Ramadan. And so try to do what you can and know that you are receiving your reward in full for what you cannot. May Allah allow us to see Ramadan and allow us to find out that we were forgiven this Ramadan. May Allah free us and our loved ones from what would bring us closer to His fire, and guarantee for us and write our names in the heavens this year among the people of paradise.